Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a very special scary ballot. Well, you know, it's Halloween weekend. We had to do something to jump into the theme. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Welcome to Boo Ballots. Never stops with me. Oh, it's happy Halloween weekend. If you guys celebrate, have fun with it. We had a lot of fun with it at work yesterday. You know what? I actually won a gift card of my costume, Keeper of the Steel. But we've also got Adam Jimena, our official college football cohort and co-pilot, partner in crime, super Buckeyes fan, super Browns fan, Guardians fan, and super duper Cavaliers fan. Oh, yes, and the host of Jimmy's Den on the balancesportscast.com. It only gets good, better from there. And of course, this weekend, NASCAR rolls into Martinsville. Can we get some hot dogs, please? Well, if you've ever been to Martinsville racetrack, which is on my bucket list to do, I've been told by more than one source that they have the best hot dogs, you know, in the world. Too tough to tame. And it is the next to the last race for the season. Hope to have Steve Wilson, editor-in-chief of Speedway Digest, to join us and help us break it all down. Tony Donahue, also from the Tony D Podcast and BurnoutSports.com, joins us to talk about, well, he's got a winning streak going with us in the ballots of NASCAR. Of course, we're going to be talking about the World Series. A little bit of NBA. We'll be tossing a little bit of that in as things get going. Still early to really get ramped up for the NBA, but we're going to be talking about Nate Kratz returns from his bye week to join us to break down the Eagles. And, you know, fly Eagles home. But also, I would imagine, we're probably going to be talking a little bit about the Phillies. Phillies in the World Series against the Trash Cans. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
The Air National Guard is a reserve component of the United States Air Force and serves alongside active duty Air Force members in times of a national crisis. In addition, the Air Guard serves the state and local community in a wide range of capacities. The reason people join the Air Guard is as diverse as our members and includes such reasons as a deep desire to serve their country, money for college, travel, new job skills, and the pride that goes along with belonging to the greatest military organization in the world. I joined because I felt a calling to serve my country, but I didn't want to be far away from my family, so the Indiana Air National Guard was a perfect fit for me. With over 95 different career opportunities to choose from and 100% paid college tuition to any state-funded college, why not give us a call? Call 1-800-841-3103 or visit online at goang.com to find out more. Again, that's 1-800-841-3103. The Air National Guard, guarding America, defending freedom.
When you don't go to geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.
When you don't go to geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar.
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything.
Morning face. You get is when you don't sleep well. This is what happened to Linda.
Morning, guys.
Good morning. Ah, what is that thing?
It's me, Linda.
Oh, my God, it talks. Run!
No, it's me, Linda, from HR.
It looks hungry. Save the children. Save them. Stay back. I've got mace.
Ow, that went in my eyes.
We're moving.
It's called beauty sleep for a reason. And there's never been a better time to get some.
Get 20% off IKEA Sultan mattresses. IKEA, love your home.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
Seen on the board, do you guys have Black Rifle coffee here?
No, I'm sorry. We only carry good small batch coffee here.
Well, it is great small batch coffee.
Well, that really can't be unless it's fresh roasted, so,
Well, it is fresh roasted.
I don't think you know what that means. You know what this is? This is Masa Lekwa Pike, which, of course, in the Indonesian language... Oh, let me finish. In the Indonesian language, it's weasel coffee.
You just made that up.
No, it's been passed through their digestive tract.
That's disgusting.
And then it's nature's wet processing.
Yeah, but is it good?
I mean, it's all right. Are they investor philanthropists? Do they support good causes?
Yeah, tons of causes. Veterans causes and first responder causes, but it doesn't matter because they make good coffee. So that's what I'm wondering.
Do you have any?
You know what? Actually, I'm just going to order it. They make it freshly roasted.
Okay. Right.
Black Rifle Coffee.
It's good.
Almost did it again this week, Adam. I almost started talking without my mic on. Welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. It is Halloween weekend. We're having a little spooky fun. Everybody got your Halloween candy ready to go for tomorrow. Adam, I know you are a big kid at heart, and I know you like candy. What's your favorite Halloween candy? Adam Jividen, by the way. Welcome to the show.
I don't know if it's a Halloween candy, but my favorite candy are Mike and Ike's. But I'm just kind of a sucker for most fruity candies. Skittles, Starburst, Mike and Ike's, Sour Patch Kids.
We know you like Mike and Ike's, that's for sure. What about Sour Patch Kids?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Love Sour Patch Kids.
What about the Garbage Pail Kids? Wasn't there a candy called that for a while? I don't remember.
No,
I am actually a big fan of a lot of different stuff. But, you know, one of the things we got pulled out last night is candy corn. Now, candy corn is okay. But when you mix it with peanuts, very good. You remember the back of the day when you and I used to work with the same company and they had candy corn and peanuts out all the time. Remember that?
Yep. I do.
There were no worries of COVID back in those days. Just dip in there and get yourself a handful of
candy
corn. No, just a giant bowl
that people would thrust their hands into, yeah.
Those were the good old days. All right, Adam, let's get into this. It is college football weekend as well. Let's talk about some of the games that we've got on tap today, and we'll make sure that we touch all of them because we know we got you here for just a short amount of time. So we'll go with this at warp speed. Well, let's start with Ohio State and Penn State. Well, it's going to be a matchup. I don't look for any fireworks, and as soon as I say that, it always happens. But Ohio State up in Penn State with the Nittany Lions. As usual, I let you go, sir, so consider yourself released.
Yeah, this is an interesting game. It's going to be the best team that Ohio State's going to play until we play the game against that team up north right after Thanksgiving. In terms of balance of football, Penn State got land blasted by the Fighting Khakis 2 weeks ago. They basically were inept on both sides of the ball. The defense got worn down, and they just kept running the ball at will, Jim Harbaugh's crew. But, and then last week, Penn State came back and really thumped Minnesota, who is one of the teams in competition for the Big Ten West, which is just kind of a dumpster fire at this point. I look at this game and I look at what Ohio State did last week against Iowa. And Iowa was able to kind of stifle our run game, stifle our offense for the most part through the first half. And then CJ Stroud in the passing game really got it clicking in the second half. To still roll up another 350 yards and four touchdowns. It was just – but it was one of those things where Ohio State fans felt really weird because we won by a ton, but we didn't win in a way that, like, felt good for a lot of people. But, anytime Iowa plays a very tough, very sound defense, they don't make mistakes. They don't. If they're going to get beat, they're going to be beat because you have more talent. Kind of what happened is they stayed gap sound, they stayed assignment sound, and C.J. Stroud was kind of getting a little impatient, missed a couple throws early, and then he hit one for Tuimeka Egbuka up the seam, which really unlocked the offense. I don't know that Penn State can play that sound. They have two really good corners. Unfortunately for Penn State, Ohio State has three great receivers, as well as a really good tight end, as well as some really great running backs. So I think Ohio State's offensive line is going to respond to offensive line coach Justin Fry's coaching this week. They were really, really pissed by their performance running the ball this last week. So I think you're going to see Ohio State's offense give its best effort. And I think you're going to see a defensive effort similar to what we've seen from Jim Knowles' group all season, which is they're real dang good. Last week, Zach Harrison, a former five-star recruit, had his best game ever as an Ohio State player. And every week he's just getting better and better under Knowles' tutelage. I expect him to have a really great game. Look for Liam Eichenberg and Steel Chambers as the linebackers to wrap up. Nicholson, the freshman running back from Penn State. And Sean Clifford is Sean Clifford. He's going to win games against Minnesota, but he's not anywhere near what is needed to take down an Ohio State, a team up north, really take down like a highly ranked SEC team. That's just not – he just doesn't have to do it. And that's kind of what I expect today, is I expect it to be – I think Penn State's defense will be able to hold us under, like, 50. I'm thinking it's going to be somewhere in the realm of, like, a 35-17, 38-17 victory for Ohio State, which will leave many going like, well, what happened? But, like, guys, like, it's college football. You're not going to win by 45 every single week. So I tend to think that's what's going to happen. We are also their biggest rival, even though they are not our biggest rival.
Well, I tell you, I think this is going to be, you know, it's going to be another box that C.J. Stroud checks off. Going in cruise control on his way to the Heisman Trophy. Not a lot to talk about here with the Penn State. I don't disagree that the Buckeyes will get a comfortable win over the Nittany Lions and certainly solidify the team's resume with a solid road to the top 25, obviously, coming out on Tuesday. See where they land at on that. I mean, really, this is just about C.J. Stroud making a statement on his road to the Heisman. When you say I'm just adding to my resume. But as we've talked about, and we will talk about as we get closer to the Heisman Trophy Award, the last 2 weeks is all that really matters. So you can make all the statements he wants right now, which he is going to do, as predicted, bar an injury or anything like that. He's certainly going to be on cruise control to the Heisman, but one would think that, you know, that decision isn't made yet. It won't be made until the last two, three games of the season. And then that's unfortunate, but that's the reality of the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, that's what it's become. Like I feel like it's been that way for the last decade. It's like, if you can have a strong last two or three weeks of the season, it doesn't matter if you are the guy the whole season. If somebody else just has a really good game, he can surpass you, which is the Heisman has just kind of become one of those. It's kind of become like a head scratcher for a lot of people, because it's like it used to be the best player in college football, and then it kind of switched to the best player on the best team in college football. And now it's just kind of changed to the best player on one of these five teams, it feels like. In college football. Now, you obviously have times where, like, Lamar Jackson rises up and things like that, but it's just I don't know what the voters are looking for anymore. It very much comes down to, like, who did better for this two- or three-week stretch, because sometimes you can do better, and it doesn't matter. Like, it's almost predetermined at the start of the season. So, yeah, I completely agree. But, yeah, I do think that this is going to be a game that C.J. Stroud uses to kind of silence the critics and add another checkbox to his Heisman resume.
Well, let's move on over to another a pretty good game to watch. I mean, whenever you get in a good SEC matchup like this, and, you know, being an IU guy, I'm not a Kentucky person at all. But you've got Kentucky Wildcats and Tennessee Volunteers, good old Rocky Top. You know, you got to love where Tennessee, and I'm not just saying that because that's, you know, where Melissa's school is, and that's what we root for here at this house also is Tennessee outside of the Big Ten. But, I mean, Tennessee, let's give them the props that they're due. Kentucky is always a good matchup. It's always a good matchup to see Kentucky and Tennessee. But I think this is another game like we just talked about with Ohio State and Penn State that Tennessee is able to get this done relatively easy. Am I wrong?
Well, maybe. I'm not sure. Because this is the thing is, any time you have a quarterback on the other side of the field, the caliber of a Will Levis, who is still being talked about as being taken in the first round of the NFL draft, and not just in the first round, but high in the first round. Like there's a lot of draft picks that are putting Levis in the top 10. Anytime you have a quarterback of that caliber opposite the football, then, yeah, an upset absolutely could happen. This is one where Tennessee hasn't, they haven't been here in a while. Obviously, they just came off the upset to Alabama. And if they're thinking they're on cruise control until they play Georgia,
I'm so sorry.
They're going to have another thing coming, and they'll drop a game before Georgia. And that's the thing is that anytime you see these teams that haven't had that kind of success for a while just kind of shoot up or have that massive upset. It's how do they respond in the following couple weeks? You know, are they looking forward to the next big one? Because let's be honest, like, if Tennessee stays undefeated, we're staring down the possibility of two colossal matchups to close out the season. One being Tennessee-Georgia, one being Ohio State versus that team up north, where both of those teams could also be undefeated at, in the last week of the season. So I think, like, that's what teams are looking ahead to. When you do that, it's really easy to take your foot off the gas or to not focus and give your opponent as much respect as they deserve. And Kentucky has a good quarterback. Now, do I think Kentucky will win? No. But I don't know what the spread is on this game, but I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole because Kentucky has the ability to put up points behind their quarterback. So Tennessee really needs to focus and execute their game plan in order to make sure that the matchup against Georgia that they're hoping for actually happens.
Well, the over-under 61, the spread is 17, I think, is what I saw. I think. 12. Sorry, that's where we're at now. Spread is 12. So the over-under is 61 with the Tennessee game. So, you know, it's going to be a good game. The number 3-ranked Tennessee Volunteers will certainly look to remain unbeaten when they take on the Kentucky Wildcats, number 19.
Which 17 to me feels like a lot. You're talking two touchdowns and a field goal. That seems like a lot. Now, if they cover that spread, well, that Georgia game, again, assuming they can stay undefeated, that Georgia game is going to be one to watch. So, yeah, I mean, this is a big one to see how focused is Tennessee going to be to determine, like, are they finishing where they're looking like they could, or do they have a slip-up along the way?
Well, let's not forget that they're at home, and you know, if you don't know how magic the Neyland Stadium there in Knoxville, Tennessee, rocks the world. Good old Rocky Top, when old Smokey comes running out on the field, and you don't know what home field advantage is. Maybe the only other place close to that is Ohio State or Alabama, but when you play it at Neyland Stadium there in Knoxville. And it's a night game, and it's on prime time, and they're on a roll. The home field advantage goes a long way in this particular.
It is massive. But, again, to that point, Kentucky has a type of quarterback that can take the crowd out of the game early. And I've watched many a Tennessee game where they come in hype, and if it starts to go sideways, the Tennessee fans go, uh-oh, here we go again, and then they get silent. And then it's almost the inverse, where the home team's like, we got nobody behind us.
Yeah. Well, you talk about Kentucky's quarterback, but let's not forget that Tennessee has a hooker.
They do. They've got a stud himself. I'm just saying they have the recipe for an upset. I don't think it'll happen. I don't think it'll be a 17-point win. But I think Tennessee wins the game. Maybe doesn't cover the spread.
Did you see what I did? See what I did there? It's my
attempt at
Halloween
here. I did, and I just ignored
you.
It. Kept going.
You just let it go on by, right?
Yep.
So I said, pause the train now. Tom made it funny. All right, let's real quickly, Oklahoma State at Kansas State. It's a battle of the states, if you will. Oklahoma State, number 9. I don't know. I look for this to be one of those games that we look at. We're like, huh, how'd that happen? Kansas State wins. What do you think?
You know, I think Kansas State very well could win, especially because Oklahoma State's coming off that devastating loss to TCU where they led for, like, most of it, which we also predicted, by the way, for those of you listening at home.
This is true.
I tend to go – I don't know that Oklahoma State loses two in a row, but I think this one's going to come down to the wire again. I think Kansas State, they've got a much better squad than people give them credit for. I'm going to say Oklahoma State pulls out the win, but by, like, the skin of their teeth. But Kansas State easily could – again, this is one of those coin flip games where it could go either way. I tend to look at this game, though, from a national level of importance of going, if Oklahoma State's only loss, let's just say, is to TCU, and both Oklahoma State and TCU continue to win, and they play each other again in the conference championship, could a one-loss Big 12 team sneak into that four spot for the college football playoff? Obviously an undefeated TCU would absolutely get into the college football playoff. So this game does still have national implications, because I don't think if you look at the landscape, I don't know anybody that's going to beat Clemson, even though they've looked very average compared to past Clemson teams. And then you're going to get the winner of the Big Ten, whether it's us being Ohio State or them being that team up north, and you're going to have at least one SEC team. The question is who's going to own that fourth spot? Is it going to be a second SEC team? Is it going to be the inverse of the winner of the Ohio State game on November 28th? Or is it a Big 12? And there's still so many possibilities available to us that this game is still one to pay attention to. So it's really going to be, I think, really low scoring because you've got two phenomenal defenses. But definitely keep your eye on this game, because I've got Oklahoma State winning in a squeaker.
All right, we only got you for a couple more minutes, so let's play the hot seat here. I want to talk about Notre Dame. We haven't talked about them in a couple of weeks. But Notre Dame, they've they're up in New York with Syracuse. Syracuse got a bounce back from last week's tough loss at Clemson. And the Orange are a 6-1 and ranked 16th. Notre Dame has improved to 4-3. There's certainly nothing to brag about. Notre Dame, and Rick Riggin going to be the first one to tell you this, and any other Notre Dame fan will tell you that they're in a rebuilding year, which is true. But at the same time, you notice how quiet Notre Dame fans have been this year. So Notre Dame is at Syracuse, and Syracuse is looking to keep their self alive, if you will, in college football, if they're even in the conversation with some New Year's Day bowl games. Notre Dame certainly is not, but Notre Dame at Syracuse, what are your thoughts?
I got Syracuse winning this game, Tom. I don't know.
Well, the spread's 2.5.
Yep, I know. But when Brian Kelly left, he knew he was not leaving the team in a great position. My concern for Notre Dame, if I'm being honest, and former Buckeye current head coach Marcus Freeman, is do these alumni and boosters give him time to get going? They had a commitment early from Keon Keeley, the number one defensive end in this class. He has since decommitted, and he's looking at basically, my understanding is, three schools, Notre Dame, Georgia, and Ohio State. Excuse me, not Notre Dame, Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State. Notre Dame's not even in the discussion. It's a slippery slope for Notre Dame. They need to give Freeman time. You can't just give a dude one, maybe 2 years, or you turn into Miami and what they've done. And every time, you know, they try to go hunting for the next big name coach, and then that guy, they give him 2 years, and then he flames out, and then they're on the hook for another big name coach, and it just, it never works. But I look at this game as, this is a big game for the future of Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame. Fans are going to say, yes, it's a rebuilding year, but how many losses do you allow in a rebuilding year is very, very questionable, because it also impacts next year. And what I mean by that is, let's just say Notre Dame finishes at 7-5, and they go, well, this year's a rebuilding year, but next year we're going to be better. And the next year they finish 8-4 or 9-3. It is better, but is it enough better to keep your job? And that's ultimately my question for Notre Dame is, are they going to – at what point do these players that love their coach, at what point do they just kind of take it personally, rise up and win a game that pundits don't know that they can win? And I hope for Marcus Freeman's sake it's this week against Syracuse, but I don't know that it's going to happen. I've got Syracuse winning. Again, I think it's going to be close. And that would be that now you're starting to tread on thin ice there for Marcus Freeman up in South Bend.
It's Halloween weekend and it's college football weekend. We have our college football games of the week. Hey, we got one more game I want to ask you about. I'll let you go there, Adam, because I know you got to do the daddy duty there. But Georgia and Florida, anything raise your eyebrows about this particular game?
This one does for two things. One, this used to be an epic battle every single season, and now it's been kind of one-sided the last few years. But Florida has a quarterback in Anthony Richardson that has all the tools. He's very raw. If Florida can put up some points early, I think you could see a situation where Georgia's in a dogfight again, just like they were against Missouri. I would personally love to see Florida pitch the upset. That would be phenomenal. Do I think it will happen? I don't. I think Georgia has just too much talent. But I think Florida can could pull the upset. And if Richardson comes out and has a game similar to what Hendon Hooker just did against Alabama, Georgia very well could be on upset alert. It would be a massive, massive win for Florida's new coach, who I'm blanking on his name, and I stumped for him all year last year when he was at Louisiana Lafayette. But, I think this is one of those games that we're going to see how close is the rest of the SEC East actually to Georgia. And that's I'm going to keep an eye on it. I don't know that I'll be able to watch it today, but I'm definitely going to keep my eyes on what's happening there in that game. So I tend to think Georgia wins. They're just, again, they're just real talented. But if Florida can get some points moving, we could have ourselves a game. So, yes, definitely. Keep an eye on that one. Keep an eye on Oklahoma State and Kansas State. And I'll be watching my boys roll up into Happy Valley and lay a hurtin' on some Nittany Lions.
There you go. Adam Jividan, our college football co-pilot in Super Bowl.
Also, real quick, Tom, I would like to point out the Cavs were 4-1, beat the Celtics last night in overtime, had Caris LeVert and Donovan Mitchell both dropped 41 points. Just saying, my boys,
that's right.
They're rolling.
You're a super duper duper Cavs fan. Don't make me add an extra duper. Real quickly, before we let you go, are you going to be adding anything to Jibby's Den this week?
Yeah, this week will be kind of the kickoff for we had kind of the initial hey, here's what we are, here's what we do. Next week we'll probably see some college football. It's gonna probably be like a free for all, a little bit about everything. So you'll see some thoughts on the NFL, some thoughts on the NBA. We'll probably touch on the World Series. I can't believe the Phillies came back and won. I feel like anybody that has any love for baseball wants to see the Astros lose, unless they're in like Houston. the taste of what they did for so many years is not. That's not leaving anytime soon. Like, if people still hate Barry Bonds, I can hate on the Astros for much, much longer. So we'll see. Yeah, you'll see some MLB. We'll have some NBA, college football, NFL. May even dip into some WWE, if there's any WWE fans out there, with Crown Jewel coming up. So it'll be just like a smorgasbord this week, a little bit of everything.
Smorgasbord. All right, buddy. You have yourself a good weekend, and we appreciate you. Check out Jibby's Den on balancedsportscast.com. Adam, you have yourself
awesome.
A great
Thanks,
day. And now, now I get to ask you where people can find your work at Masterpieces, so you wait for that, sir. We'll talk with you soon,
Absolutely.
buddy.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, you guys have a good weekend, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Adam Jividen, college football co-pilot, super Buckeyes fan, super duper duper Cavs fan, also a Guardians fan, or really anything Ohio for the most part. My name's Tom Mark Wazell, Presidente. Stick around, it's about to get scarier.
The Air National Guard is a reserve component of the United States Air Force and serves alongside active duty Air Force members in times of a national crisis. In addition, the Air Guard serves the state and local community in a wide range of capacities. The reason people join the Air Guard is as diverse as our members and includes such reasons as a deep desire to serve their country, money for college, travel, new job skills, and the pride that goes along with belonging to the greatest military organization in the world. I joined because I felt a calling to serve my country, but I didn't want to be far away from my family, so the Indiana Air National Guard was a perfect fit for me. With over 95 different career opportunities to choose from and 100% paid college tuition to any state-funded college, why not give us a call? Call 1-800-841-3103 or visit online at goang.com to find out more. Again, that's 1-800-841-3103. The Air National Guard, guarding America, defending freedom.
Morning face. You get it when you don't sleep well. This is what happened to Linda.
Morning, guys.
Good morning. Ah, what is that thing?
It's me, Linda.
Oh, my God, it talks! Run!
No, it's me, Linda, from HR.
It looks hungry! Save the children! Save them! Stay back! I've got mace!
Ow! They're winning my eyes!
We're moving!
It's called beauty sleep for a reason. And there's never been a better time to get some.
Get 20% off IKEA Sultan mattresses. IKEA. Love your home.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
I haven't seen on the board. Do you guys have Black Rifle coffee here?
No, I'm sorry. We only carry good small batch coffee here.
Well, it is great small batch coffee.
Well, that really can't be unless it's fresh roasted, so I don't, you know.
Well, it is fresh roasted.
I don't think you know what that means. You know what this is? This is Masa Lekwa Pique, which, of course, in the Indonesian language... Oh, let me finish. In the Indonesian language, it's weasel coffee.
You just made that up.
No, it's been passed through their digestive tract.
That's disgusting.
And then it's nature's wet processing.
Yeah, but is it good?
I mean, it's all right. Are they investor philanthropists? Do they support good causes?
Yeah, tons of causes. Veterans causes and first responder causes. But it doesn't matter because they make good coffee. So that's what I'm wanting.
Do you have any?
You know what? Actually, I'm just going to order it. They make it fresh and roasted.
Okay. Right.
Black Rifle Coffee.
It's good.
Welcome back to the Balance, our very special Boo Balance. I love it. Happy Halloween weekend, guys. We had a lot of fun at my work yesterday with different Halloween costumes and stuff. And I actually won a DoorDash card with my costume. I was the keeper of the steel. Most of you know I'm a big moonshine fan. I had my bib overalls on, my flannel shirt, my moonshine hat, and a ghost mask. I shared it with our Steve Wilson. Steve Wilson of SpeedwayDigest.com joins us, editor-in-chief of SpeedwayDigest.com, and certainly one of our big persons to help us launch our website. Check it out, balancedsportscast.com, and see how awesome it is, and then you'll know how awesome Steve is. Steve, you're out at Martinsville. Have you had a hot dog yet?
No, it's a little too early for that this morning.
Anyway, Halloween candy. You know, we got a poll up, Steve, on our Twitter world. What's your favorite Halloween candy? There's a lot of options, but the options that we put on there are Reese's Cups, Kit Kats, Snickers, or Mike and Ike's. What's your favorite Halloween candy out of those four, or either any candy that you like for Halloween, sir?
Snickers and Kit Kats.
Snickers and Kit Kats. Now, do you take your? How old are your kids?
Oh, they're long past that. They don't do that anymore.
Okay. I didn't know if you – I knew you had kids. I just didn't know how old they were. Okay. So you don't take them trick-or-treating just so you can rob their I got to check the candy out. You know, I always buy an abundance of candy. Last year and the year before, I think a lot of it had to do with COVID. Hopefully it's changed this year. We'll have some trick-or-treaters. I have fun with it. I've got spooky music playing out there. I'll be dressed up something scary, probably a Colts fan. That'll be pretty scary. but I always buy an abundance of candy for intentional purposes of, hey, you know, just make sure that we have enough for the trick-or-treaters. But really, in reality, if we're being honest, I buy an abundance of candy so that I can have it, so I can have the leftovers. But Halloween's a lot of fun. So, all right, this weekend, NASCAR rolls into Martinsville. As you said, a little bit too early for some hot dogs, but I'm sure you'll get some of those. It's going to be too tough to tame, and it certainly is the next to the last race of the season. And Steve Wilson, editor-in-chief of SpeedwayDigest.com. Let's break down the Xfinity race. What's going on today in the Xfinity race? We're going to look for good things from Brandon Jones, Sheldon Krieg, of course, Ty Gibbs and Noah as well in the mix for conversation there. I think they've already qualified, I'm pretty sure, but Brandon Jones, I believe, is on the poll there. But what are we looking for in the draft top 250, I think it's the name of the race. If I'm wrong on that, please correct me, sir.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough race for anybody out there today. Brandon Jones, he was strong in qualifying yesterday, putting it on the pole. However, had a couple of issues with some of the drivers, like Noah Gregson, who right before he got ready to roll out, had a brake problem, had to change the brake lines out while they were waiting to qualify, and off the hill, never made a qualifying lap. So he's one of the drivers that are trying to look and lock himself in the Phoenix next week, and he's going to have a tough time going from the very rear of the field because he wasn't able to post a qualifying.
So let's talk a little bit about Martinsville. It's an historic track. It's a short track, and it's one of those tracks where people like to, get their aggressions out, per se. We've got two races left. We're in the midst of the playoffs. First of all, drivers got to keep that in check. But that said, you know, we are in the midst of a championship run, and it isn't close by any stretch of the imagination. But if we're looking at the Xfinity race today, and we look at a half mile of what I would call mayhem about to ensue, first of all, talk with us about Martinsville, the history of the track, and what makes Martinsville such a awesome track. And then second of all, let's talk about the Xfinity playoff series and what do the drivers and the teams have to do. You know, go out there, drive hard, you know, but at the same time, let's not kill somebody's chances of a championship for whatever reason. But there's always going to be some sort of mayhem at Martinsville.
Yeah, Martinsville's been on the schedule since the very beginning, and it even predates NASCAR itself, but opening in 1947. So it's got a long history here racing in the southeast or southwestern part of Virginia. Started on dirt, paved. It's a tight track. You don't really have a whole lot of room on this. You only have a couple hundred feet down each straightaway to be able to make any. To be honest, you know, for most drivers, the only way you're going to get around somebody is you're going to have to put a bumper to them, and that's going to ensue with madness and chaos and hurt feelings and tempers at the end of the race or even in the middle of the race. There's a lot of drivers out there, Noah Gregson and Josh Berry, they've already locked themselves in for Phoenix next week, so it's more about points racing for them more than anything else. But, you know, there's six other drivers out there that are trying to lock themselves in, and like I said earlier, with Austin Hill, he's got to start from the rear. It's a really tough position to go from the rear to make up a whole lot of positions here. So, you know, he's going to have to be smart about it and not get caught up in somebody else's chaos throughout that. Brandon Jones has the best opportunity sitting for the pole. He's going to have a clear view outside of that. It's just a matter of 5 to 7 laps into the event before lapping will start. And then he's going to have to start working through traffic or putting the bumper to people, because if you don't, somebody else is going to do it to you.
Well, I'm watching the JR Motorsports drivers, Noah Gregson, obviously, but I like Josh Berry. I mean, I know he's secured himself a pretty solid spot. I can't talk today in the round of eight, but what do you think about Josh Berry? I like him. He's been good all year along with Noah.
Yeah, Josh Berry came out from racing short tracks, so he's very much in his wheelhouse going into this race. Not that he needs to win it because he's already locked in Phoenix, but if he does win it, he's going to get more points next week. Well, actually, it doesn't really matter because that's the points. But, you know, for him, it's just getting another clock out here. I think he's got a good potential to go out there. He's already been re-signed to JR Motorsports for next year to come back and race with this number 8 machine that he's been in all year long. He showed a competitive side at some of the tracks that had not necessarily been in his wheelhouse. He's shown some bright spots on road courses and some of these intermediate tracks, which, you know, he really didn't have a whole lot of experience on until he came up into the year. So he seems to be working, getting progressively better, and he's already got himself locked into a chance for a championship next week.
You know, I watch the truck series too, and there's a very talented driver. Maybe doesn't get the credit that she deserves, but Hallie Geoghegan, I like her a lot in the been liking her a lot in the truck series. I know you follow the truck series a lot as well. We don't talk a lot about the truck series here, but I expect for her to make a move into not NASCAR Cup Series, but certainly the Xfinity Series. I would think maybe full time next year. I mean, she raced in Vegas a couple weeks ago. Does somebody, or I think maybe she already has that secured, I'm not sure. But I think Hallie Geoghegan moves up from the Truck Series to the Xfinity Series, at least part time, if not full time next year. What are your thoughts? She's a very talented driver, by the way.
Well, Ford is committed to her, and with DGR Racing converting over to Toyota, she's a Ford-branded driver, so she didn't have an opportunity to be in one of those trucks now that they converted over. I know Ford is, like I said, committed to her progression in NASCAR, and, I think if anything, the potential there is that a Stuart Haas car, in addition to Riley Herbst in the number 98, or maybe in a SHR prepared car for somebody else, like SF Greenlight Racing, which is who she competed for in Vegas a couple of weeks ago. And so I see their progression, looking for trying to get her up into Xfinity herself eventually. But I think we're just waiting to see where those dominoes are all going to fall for her next year. Do you see some kind of movement for her somewhere?
Steve Wilson, editor-in-chief of SpeedwayDigest.com, is down in Martinsville, the short track down in Virginia. Is that a short drive for you? How long of a drive is that for you? You're in Virginia there.
A couple hours for me. It's not really that bad. A
couple hours? Okay. Cool. Well, the championship four will be set after Sunday's. I never think about it until I see it actually in writing in front of my face, because there's so much action that goes on in Martinsville, but it's 500 laps, 500 laps on that really short track. But Joey Logano's locked in. Christopher Bell and Chase Briscoe are the win and you're in type of situations on Sunday. And then, of course, you got Ross Chastain, Chase Elliott, William Byron, Ryan Blaney, Denny Hamlin. All can still make the Final Four with a reasonable good points day. Let's break down these drivers. Let's start with Joey Logano. What are your thoughts?
Well, he's already locked. Next week going into Phoenix is, once again, it's for him, not really anything he can do at this moment. It's just about finding out who the other drivers are going to be right there.
What are your thoughts on Christopher Bell?
It's going to be tough for him. After what happened out of Vegas, he's kind of dug into a hole of not of his doing. He's going to have a real struggle here to, if he doesn't start on the pole or start up front somewhere, statistically, the winner does not come from very far back in the field. So if he doesn't have a good qualifying effort, he's pretty much all but out of this thing.
You know, Chase Briscoe, I like him. He's a kid from Indiana. You always got to like those Indiana kids. That's because we're from Indiana, Indianapolis, high atop the Ballin Studios in the west suburbs of Indianapolis. But Chase Briscoe, I like him. What are your thoughts?
Kind of thing for him. I think he's going he's going to have a struggle too. For him, once again, both him and Bell are kind of in a similar situation. I know that Briscoe wasn't really tangled up into something like Bell was at Vegas, but still, I know he's had his problems that has put him down in that kind of position to begin with. So he's got a hole to dig himself out of. Once again, I just think, without a good qualifying effort for him, he's all but out of this thing.
Let's talk a little bit about Ross Chastain. Ross Chastain has scrapped his way all the way up to at least being in the conversation of being in the final playoff positions. What are our thoughts on Ross Chastain?
Ross has sort of ruffled a few feathers throughout the year. As Martinsville, that place, they're going to get him back. I don't really know whether they are or not. I think after what happened with the suspensions, I think drivers would be a little bit more careful than, necessarily trying to go out there and put him out of this thing, especially if NASCAR kind of thinks that they're doing it intentionally or on purpose to knock him out of this championship race. He sits second behind Joey Logano. Really, it's about point racing for him, getting to –
So let's talk a little bit about Kyle Larson. I mean, he dominated at Homestead, for the most part. But there was that controversy when Larson and Martin made contact in pit road during the final round of pit stops. Kyle's been kind of getting – you look at Bubba Wallace, you look at a couple other things. I'm a Kyle Larson fan. Everybody knows that. I love his story. I don't think he's going to get a repeat championship. But I love his story, and he's a great driver. But he seems to be on everybody's radar. Is that just me and my overthinking things?
No, I mean, it's unfortunately for him, he was knocked out a couple of weeks ago at Charlotte, so he doesn't have a chance to go at this for Phoenix. But I think his dominance showed last week, 199 laps he led throughout the race. Going back and looking back, we've played Green Truex a couple of different times from a couple of different angles. I mean, it really does look like the fact that Truex kind of lost where he was at on pit road and then just had to check the brakes a little bit to get to his box before he passed. It was causing Kyle Larson to get in the rear. I don't think there was any intentional part on either of their perspectives. I just think that, going down that front stretch there, that time of day, you're looking straight into the sun, and that seems to be what had happened. He just kind of lost where he was at and had to check it up a little bit, and that's caused Larson to get into him and spinning.
Chase Elliott, do we still look at him to be the champion this year? I think we've talked about it a few times, but, I know he's got a secured spot, so he hasn't been lighting the world on fire over the last couple races. But Chase Elliott, are we still thinking that it's his championship to lose?
I think for him, I think there's a lot of pressure being put on him to win this championship just because he's Chase Elliott looking for a second championship. And, you know, there's a lot of strong drivers out there right now with between you already have Logano locked in and you've got Chastain there, but you also got William Byron. I mean, I think William Byron could definitely give him a run for it if him and Hamlin are able to sort this thing out and Hamlin drops out after tomorrow and Byron kind of is that fourth and final driver. I think that he's got a potential and a teammate there that could really challenge him coming into Phoenix next week. But just a lot of pressure on Chase Elliott right now to win that second championship.
So if we were to look at the surprise person or surprise driver to come out of this weekend, who do you think that would be? Who would be insert name there?
I think Denny Hamlin is that surprise driver. He's been floating around that fourth, fifth position here for a couple of, you know, last couple of races or so. Byron had a good race in Homestead last week, even though towards the end there he didn't necessarily have the finish that he probably deserved out of it. He had a lot of points that he gathered up throughout the stages prior to that. But, you know, Hamlin has been here to Martinsville multiple times and pulled off victories here. So if we've got somebody that may be kind of that dark horse looking in at this moment, I think it's Denny Hamlin right now.
As you know, over the last couple of weeks, we've been on the Kyle Busch watch. He's just got a couple races left at Joe Gibbs Racing. Let's talk about and do our weekly visit to Kyle Busch. What can we look for him from this weekend? This is going to be one of those tracks that, you know, he's already on edge. He's like, can we just hurry up and get this over with so I can move over to Richard Childress Racing? But on the Kyle Busch watch this week, what can we add to that?
Well, you know, honestly, I don't think they've been giving him the top-of-the-line cars here. We've seen engines go out. I know Joe Gibbs and TRD have kind of addressed that a couple of different times with the engine issues that he had multiple times. But I just don't think he's had, you know, even at Homestead last week, I mean, he really wasn't part of the conversation per se. In any case, it was, he kind of floated around in the top 15, top low top 10 kind of area most of the day. And 2 years ago, three years ago at Homestead, when he won the championship in 2019, I mean, he pretty much dominated that race. And that was kind of, you know, abnormal for him not to go in Homestead and at least be part of the conversation. He just honestly wasn't part of the conversation at all last week. So I don't know necessarily at this point in the season with him so far out of it, with him out of the championship and, you know, him moving over in two races, he's going to get the best cars. I mean, they're not going to put competitive cars on the track, but they're definitely putting all their efforts towards somebody like a Denny Hamlin right now, giving him the best cars that they have out there. So I would just think that Kyle Busch for his effort this weekend, it's not necessarily about the car. In many cases, it's you can drive this racetrack, and Kyle Busch can be an aggressive driver. So I think he has to pair the two together and kind of be competitive but also be aggressive at the same time. I'm not sure that he'll win, but I think he'll put on at least a good show.
All right, Steve Wilson, Editor-in-Chief of SpeedwayDigest.com. Steve, who is your pick for today's race in the Xfinity race, the Draft 250? Who is your pick, your DraftKings $5 pick of the week?
For today, I am going to go with Noah Gregson. I know he doesn't need to win, but I just think that he's been dominant so far this season. Look to him to continue that dominance.
All right, Steve, well, we've got you down there for your $5 DraftKings pick, Noah Gregson. That's a $20 payout. If you bet $5 on the DraftKings app, download. It's actually a pretty cool app to do. I'm a big high roller. I do those $2 and $5 bets and so forth. Steve, I appreciate you joining us today. I appreciate all the help that you give us here with the show and on the website. What are you guys working on this week? I know you're going to be covering the championship quite thoroughly, but what do you got going on this week, sir?
Covering the last four between here and the Xfinity Series and Cup Series tomorrow to see who we're going to get locked in for Phoenix next week. A lot of drivers out there that still have a chance. One race to make it in. So.
All right, Steve. Have fun out there at the track. Make sure you make some room for some Martinsville hot dogs. How many bags are you gonna eat this weekend? Be honest.
I'll probably eat about 5 to 6 a day.
I love it, man. But track is on my bucket list to go, and that hot dog is one of the hot dogs I've got to have before I go to the pearly gates. All right, buddy, you have yourself a good weekend, and we look forward to your coverage. Appreciate you. Where can people find your work and masterpieces, sir?
It's at Speedway Digest on Twitter, facebook.com/Speedway Digest, and speedwaydigest.com.
All right, thanks, Steve. You have yourself a good weekend, sir.
Thanks.
Steve Wilson, Editor-in-Chief of Speedway Digest, breaking down the NASCAR in Martinsville. My name is Tom Mark Wessel, Presidente. It is Boo Balance. I love that. Happy Halloween weekend, guys. Right around the corner, we're supposed to be having Tony Donahue of the Tony D Podcast going to join us and going to be breaking down the World Series. What a great win for the Phillies last night against the Astros. And certainly we'll talk a little bit more about NASCAR and just see what's going on with Tony Donahue right after this on the Balance Radio Network. It's Halloween weekend.
In the war, Bobby's hanging in the street to a door. Royal flames will call the pals in jail, bringing daylight to the night. Death is riding.
The Air National Guard is a reserve component of the United States Air Force and serves alongside active duty Air Force members in times of a national crisis. In addition, the Air Guard serves the state and local community in a wide range of capacities. The reason people join the Air Guard is as diverse as our members and includes such reasons as a deep desire to serve their country, money for college, travel, new job skills, and the pride that goes along with belonging to the greatest military organization in the world. I joined because I felt a calling to serve my country, but I didn't want to be far away from my family, so the Indiana Air National Guard was a perfect fit for me. With over 95 different career opportunities to choose from and 100% paid college tuition to any state-funded college, why not give us a call? Call 1-800-841-3103 or visit online at goang.com to find out more. Again, that's 1-800-841-3103. The Air National Guard, guarding America, defending freedom.
Morning face. You get it when you don't sleep well. This is what happened to Linda.
Morning, guys.
Good morning. Ah, what is that thing?
It's me, Linda.
Oh, my God, it talks. Run!
No, it's me, Linda, from HR.
It looks hungry. Save the children. Save them. Stay back. I've got mace.
Ow, what are my eyes?
We're moving.
It's called beauty sleep for a reason. And there's never been a better time to get some.
Get 20% off IKEA Sultan mattresses. IKEA, love your home.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
Seen on the board, do you guys have Black Rifle coffee here?
No, I'm sorry. We only carry good small batch coffee here.
Well, it is great small batch coffee.
Well, that really can't be unless it's fresh roasted, so,
Well, it is fresh roasted.
I don't think you know what that means. You know what this is? This is Masa Lekwa Pike, which, of course, in the Indonesian language, it's weasel coffee.
You just made that up.
No, it's been passed through their digestive tract.
That's disgusting.
And then it's nature's wet processing.
Yeah, but is it good?
I mean, it's all right. Are they investor philanthropists? Do they support good causes?
Yeah, tons of causes. Veterans causes and first responder causes. But it doesn't matter because they make good coffee. So that's what I'm wanting.
You have any?
You know what? Actually, I'm just going to order it. They make it fresh and roasted.
Okay. Right.
Black Rifle Coffee.
It's good.
To the balance, 1 hour in the books. Thank you, Adam Jividan, Super Browns fan, Super Buckeyes fan, Super Duper Cavs fan. Had to brag about his Cavs getting a little bit of a win last night. Certainly our college football cohort. And also, he's got an awesome spot on our website. Check it out, balancesportscast.com. Jividan's Den. It's a great escape for you to go read about just about anything. And so we've got that up and going. And our website is up and going, so check it out. It's Halloween weekend. It is Boo Balance. I know. It's corny, candy corn sort of stuff. On our Twitter world, our balance poll is up. What's your favorite Halloween candy? Reese's Cups, Kit Kat, Snickers, or Mike and Ike's? Go vote on it at T-Balance. Tony Donahue of the Tony D Podcast joins us. Tony, what is your, out of those four or any of them, what is your favorite Halloween candy?
I'm going to go with Reese's. My favorite candy bar is the Reese's Fast Break, but out of those, definitely Reese's. But depends on what Mike and I should get too, right? Like the tropical ones or the berry ones are really good. I'm not a big fan of the hotter ones, but I'll definitely go Reese's number one on that list.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a Reese's fan. I'm glad I found somebody else that likes that Fast Break or Take Five. Is it Take Five or Fast Break? But they're really, really good. And I'm a candy freak myself. I always buy an abundance of candy because, you know, trick-or-treaters. We've had not very many in the last couple of years. I think it's COVID, so I'm hoping for a lot of trick-or-treaters. But then on the other hand, I buy an abundance of candy, let's not lie, so that I can have an abundance of candy here at the house. But I tell you what, it is a World Series. Let's start talking there, and then we'll work our way around on a couple other things, and certainly not to deny your winning streak with the Xfinity Series as well, and NASCAR picks as well. And we're going to get back into some NBA talk, so we got a lot to talk about. And certainly we want to talk a little bit about the Colts. We're going to talk more about that in the next segment with Ed Kratz, but certainly a lot going on. The Colts camel put on our home half as both of us are here in Indianapolis. But the Phillies, and I'm sure we're going to be talking about this in the next segment as well, but the Phillies, well, they got a good win over the garbage cans, as I call them, the Astros. I mean, I think everybody would like to see the Phillies win this. It's going to be a fun series to watch. But, man, the Phillies, you're like, okay, the Phillies, they're playing baseball, they're doing whatever. And then out of the blue, here they are in the World Series, and they get off to a remarkable start late night last night for Phillies fans. But, man, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think what I really love about baseball, and especially in the playoffs, is anything can happen, right? And on any given night, you can see something that you haven't seen in, you know, 100 years or ever or whatever it is. It doesn't, you know, it could be an individual accomplishment. I mean, Kyle Tucker and his two home runs last night was huge. But really, when you look at that game, the comeback that started, two-out rally kind of gets you back into it, 5-3, then you tie it up at 5. You go to that bottom of the ninth, and Altuve gets on what he thought wasn't even a base hit, right? Like, he thought that was just a routine fly ball. It drops. He's on first. He steals second and gets in there, I mean, just barely, and is called safe at second. And then that little floater that went to right field, and Castellanos coming in, diving catch to save the game. I mean, that saved the game. Then you go to the 10th, and the next batter up, which, you know, if that ball falls to the ground on that catch, which it was very close, the game's over, Houston wins. And the very next batter for the Phillies, JT Realmuto, puts one in the right field bleachers to come back and win it 6-5. They got a little hairy there in the bottom of the 10th inning. I mean, the Astros are such a good team. They can beat you from spots 1 through 9 in their lineup. So I thought it was a remarkable game. I love the World Series. You really don't see 6-5 games in a World Series that often. It's usually 2-1 or 1-0. So if you weren't entertained by that last night, you're probably just not a baseball fan.
Not a baseball. And, you know, as you're sitting there laying that out, I mean, how many of those as kids, you know, we played street baseball, we played little league baseball, whatever. How many of us as kids, baseball players, had some of those exact scenarios play out in their mind? Okay, you know, it's the World Series. We got this scenario. We got this scenario. And you could just check off each and every one of those scenarios on last night's game. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're growing up, you want to be in that situation. You want to get to a World Series. You want to play in one, and then to have an opportunity. You know, look, they're the Fighting Phils, right? This is a team that was counted out, you know, in August, and they go on a pretty hot streak through September, and then now in the playoffs, you know, their mindset's been, look, obviously to win the series, we're going to have to win a game in Houston. They've been undefeated down in Houston, and the Phillies have been undefeated at home. So one of those things is going to have to give.
Justin Verlander, I mean, yes, he plays for the Astros. I'm not the biggest Astros fan out there. I do like the Phillies in this World Series, but Justin Verlander, I mean, he's a true first ballot Hall of Famer. He's a special kind of dude.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the first, I think the first pitcher in all time to start in three different World Series over three different decades. And he
I
was
think
rolling.
You're right.
I mean, it was 5-0. He was rolling. He was on his game. And then, you know, the Phillies said, look, we're not going to give up. We're not going to give up till the last inning of the 9th inning. And really, anybody watching that game last night, especially if you're a little leaguer or in high school, you don't give up. In baseball, anything can happen. You get a little rally going, you get a couple hits. You know, you get an error on the defense or a stolen base, you get a little bit of momentum, and you get it all back one run at a time. That's exactly what they did to send it to extra innings, and then to get that home run, that solo shot in the 10th inning to go ahead. I mean, it shows you got to keep fighting.
So, you know, we're still early into the series. I'm going to say that the Phillies win and Bryce Harper wins the World Series MVP. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, there's still a lot of baseball left to be played. I think everybody wants to see the Phillies win, but Houston's not going to go away. I mean, Houston's going to probably come out tonight, hop on them early, and kind of gain back that little bit of momentum that they lost last night. I think they're a team that's just so good. Like I said, from hitter 1 through 9, they can beat you, and Tucker and Alvarez and all these guys that they put the ball in play, right? They put the ball in play. And when you put the ball in play, good things are going to start happening, whether it's, you know, little blooper base hits, whether it's 5 runs off of, Kyle Tucker's 2 home runs, good things are going to happen. So I expect another really good game coming up tonight.
Tony Donahue of the Tony T Podcast. Tony, I know you play around in the betting world like I do. I sometimes lean on you. So I'm going to lean on you tonight's game, the Phillies and the Astro. Where do I put my $5 DraftKings big roll at?
You know, usually I'm the type of guy that in the playoffs you usually go for pitching, and you usually go for that under. The under is usually 7 or 8 runs total. But man, both teams have proven that they can get out and swing the bat, and they're going to be aggressive. And if you make a mistake as a pitcher and you leave that ball anywhere near the plate, they're going to swing and they're going to put that thing in play. So I'm going to take the over in this one. I would love to see the Phillies win. But I think the Astros get back right and get a 5-3 victory tonight.
All right, Tony Donahue, the Tony D Podcast. I want you to put on your Homer hat with me. I got my Colts hat on right now as we speak. You know, we've second-guessed all kinds of stuff with the Colts. I am so tired of talking about the Colts quarterback. Not that I ever thought that Matt Ryan was going to be our savior, but Matt Ryan proved to just be another line of quarterback disasters that we have, we finally get a chance to see what Sam Effinger is all about. I think he's better than what people have given him credit for. I know Jim Irsay liked him. For the first time out of West 56th Street there here in Indianapolis, I think they made a good football business decision. Nothing personal against Matt Ryan. Seems like a nice enough guy. But now Nick Foles is the QB2 as Ryan is benched right now for a couple weeks due to injury. But, you know, he took it in stride. He's like, you know, I'm here to help in any which way I can. I'm here to be a team player. Certainly that's what you would expect him to say publicly. But do you think that there's some disappointment between the coaching staff, Matt Ryan, and just Matt Ryan, maybe in himself and his ability to get this job done with the Colts? What are your thoughts on what's going on with the Colts at the QB situation?
You know, this decision was made on the fact that defensive line, the defensive pressure and the blitz is just attacking Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan can't move out of the box. He can't scramble left. He can't scramble right. He can't get himself, you know, out of the pocket to extend the play, and that really makes you one-dimensional in that passing game. So, Ehlinger, look, is he going to be the savior? No. Is he the next Tom Brady? Two or three more football games? Yeah, I think so, in a favorable schedule. Now, if you're a Colts fan, you're going, well, wait a minute. We either want to win as many as we can to get to the playoffs, or we want to tank so we can get a better draft pick. So it's almost like, which one would you rather have as a fan? As far as Ehlinger's play, you know, they've had this kid all along. They've spoken highly of him. He's ran the scout defense, and he's a guy that, look, you know, it's best to just see what he has. You got to give him some reps. He's a guy you've drafted, and a lot of the team has talked highly of. So you've got to give him a chance. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But I'll tell you this: I'll make a bold prediction on your show right now, and you can take it for what it's worth. But I don't think Matt Ryan has started his last game as an Indianapolis Colt.
Okay. Well, I don't know if that's a bold prediction per se, because, you know, we know how Foles can be. Again, we don't know what we don't know with Sam.
Well, I think that they have said, and they have openly, with this move and going straight to Sam Ehlinger, they've said, we're just giving Matt Ryan a paycheck. This is a guy that was brought in by head coach Frank Reich. This is a guy that, you know, has won Super Bowls, is a good guy, is a good team player. But they basically said by going to Sam Ehlinger that, look, hey, we want to see what this guy has. We're not really worried about the rest of the season. And Foles, it's not going to be you, so we're going to see what this kid's got.
The return of Darius Slack Shaq. I do wish he'd go back to – it's just me. It's just my superstition. But, you know, that's really all it is. But Shaq Leonard back in the game tomorrow against the Commanders at home. How big of a punch in the arm, if you will, is that for the Colts?
Well, you hope. I mean, look, this is a guy that I think is slightly overrated in the NFL, to be honest. I mean, he hasn't been healthy all season. He hasn't been healthy since changing his name to Shaq. So get out there and play. I mean, the defense hasn't been awful this year. Hopefully he can still complement that and stay healthy. But I don't have major expectations for him in tomorrow's game against the Commanders.
All right, let's keep our homer's hat on for just a little bit. You know, the Pacers, we got a long ways to go, okay? So the Pacers are not off to an exciting start, but they are at 2-4. They're in Brooklyn. They're coming up today, tonight at 7:30. And we're back to talking about NBA. We're back to talking about the Pacers. So, Tony, give us a forecast, if you will, for our Indiana Pacers. You know, we haven't had a lot of good things to say about the Pacers recently. Does that change this year?
So, I mean, this is what I said on my podcast. Look, the Pacers, where they are, I mean, they're going to be exciting, and they're going to fight to the end. But here's what the expectations need to be. Look, they're not going to win a championship. They're not going to probably go to the playoffs this year. And another decent lottery draft pick's not going to hurt the team. It looks like, based on the first, you know, six games, that they found something huge in Benedict Mathurin. I mean, first player in franchise history to score over 100 points in his first four games. You know, if Halliburton is a stud, I mean, he had a double-double mm-hmm. last night. He's a great player. He's a leader. He has fun playing basketball. There's still going to be growing pains. They still need to trade Miles Turner to get him out of town. Okay, so it's not going to be wins consistently. It's going to be an up-and-down year. It's going to be a learning year, and it's going to be frustrating at times. It's going to be a heck of a lot of fun at times. So just hold on. Ride it for what it is. Tickets are going to be cheap. Get down to Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Have some fun with the family. Watch some basketball and go from there. Okay, because again, it's not going to be the best basketball you've ever seen, but they're going to be fun. They're young. They're going to be learning together. It's going to be a lot of growing pains and a lot of learning curves, but it's going to be entertaining, and they're going to fight to the final horn, as we saw the other night with Benedict Mathurin stealing it from his teammate, which is five seconds to go in the game.
You know, you're right. Ty Halliburton is a beast, but you mentioned getting Miles Turner out. You know, he added 27 points, you know, to the game. I can't even talk today. I don't know why. The win over the Wizards. So anytime you got a player that's going to add 27 points to the game to add to the win, do we really want to talk about moving him out of town?
Absolutely. He doesn't do it not consistently enough.
He doesn't do it consistently enough.
The more 25-point games he puts up over the next couple of weeks, the better, because that'll boost his trade value. You absolutely have to trade this guy. He's going to walk in free agency if you don't. I mean, he becomes a free agent, and if you don't trade nothing out of a draft pick that you selected and developed, he's going to go to a contender. He's going to go to a Portland or an LA or a Miami if you let him walk. So you have to trade this guy. And I thought you had to trade him about a year or two ago. I think they're a little bit overdue on the trade. But as long as you get it done and you get some pieces back before the trade deadline, it's worth it. But, yeah, it's 100% that you have to trade this guy.
Tony Donahue of the Tony D Podcast joins us playing a Swiss Army knife with us for today. Let's go down to Martinsville and check out the race where there's – good hot dogs down there right here. I was just talking to Steve Wilson of SpeedwayDigest.com, our official NASCAR contributor. He's down there in Martinsville, too tough to tame. We're coming down to it. And this is going to be a race of melee, and it's going to be, one thing after another. It's hard to believe it's 500 laps, but there's a lot going on, and there's only a few spots left. So somebody's going to ruin somebody's day today and tomorrow, and you've been pretty good about being able to sift that out and helping us out with our DraftKings NASCAR bets. But as you look at the race today on the Draft 250 down in Martinsville, it's going to be melee, but what are your thoughts? Break down the Xfinity race for us today, sir.
I think you're underselling the fact that you've had to buy me dinner the last four Sundays because I've called the NASCAR winner. Who was it? Christopher Bell, Kyle Larson. There was another one in there. Was Logano at Vegas? I think there was maybe one more. But you're right. Martinsville. You know, there's going to be a lot of bumper usage, right? There's going to be a lot of moving guys out of the way, a lot of bump and runs, and there are four things that will for sure happen at Martinsville over the next 2 days. One, plenty of hot dogs sold. Two, you'll see a winner in both races. Three, there'll be some beating and banging on the track. And four, there'll be fights. We will see fights. I bet we see multiple fights. This is where it's the end of the season. You know, if you're out of the playoff race, you're almost just ready to go home, right? You're almost ready to get yourself on vacation, get out of town, get away from the grind, move on. If you're in the championship hunt and you get moved by somebody who's not, or you're battling with somebody and they turn you and they don't show you any kind of patience, you're going to be pissed. So I think we're going to see boiling over this weekend, but it should certainly be entertaining. It's kind of what NASCAR likes, right? They love those beating and banging, the moving people out of the way, changing things up. So looking forward to what comes over the next several hours here with NASCAR at Martinsville, Xfinity Series today, and then Cup Series tomorrow, obviously.
Oh, absolutely, and you talk about, you know, there's going to be fights. You know, we've got just a couple races with Kurt Busch and Joe Gibbs Racing left, and he's not happy being there. and he's ready to get moved on. Is he one of those guys that he's going to bring out the old Kyle Busch that we knew from way back and be one of those guys that's in the mix of it all, throwing haymakers and everything? Is this going to be his farewell to the old Kurt Busch in Joe Gibbs Racing type of scenario?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the news of Kurt Busch retiring over the last week or two, you know, kind of scaling back. He didn't really say that he was done racing, but certainly scaling back, I think it's the right move. And I've always been a fan of Kurt Busch. As far as Kyle Busch goes, look, I think there's obviously frustrations that Gibbs didn't bring him back. There's obviously frustrations that, you know, he's bringing up his grandson, Ty Gibbs, and, mm-hmm. you know, he let Kyle Busch go. But that isn't something to take out on your crew. That isn't something to take out on your sponsors. That's something that, you know, is one of those things where it wasn't anybody else's fault. It was Joe Gibbs' fault. They decided, look, we're not going to, you know, bring you back. So you don't take that on your crew. You want to go out and get a win. You want to go out and compete. So I do think that we'll see some valiant efforts over the next 2 weekends out of Kyle Busch.
Have you watched any of the Race to the Champions, that docuseries that NASCAR did?
I've not watched it yet.
Okay, you need to. It's very, very, very good. It's likened a lot to the football one that they did. They had the Colts 30-30, whatever it's called. I liken a lot to that, but it's really good. But there was a scene in a couple weeks ago where it was Kyle Busch and his wife and I guess his manager, and they were talking about this contract that Joe Gibbs is saying, hey, goodbye, you know, and he mentioned that his kids have called him grandpa. He was like a second dad to him. It was a kind of a jab in the, you know, like, okay, well, I may not be your real son, but I certainly have brought this team a long way. Do you think that Joe Gibbs Racing did Kyle Busch a bad, they kind of did him wrong? Or do you think that it was just, hey, it was a business decision. Is this what we had to do?
Say it was a business decision. They're going to say all the right things as far as, look, we couldn't find sponsorship, yada, yada, yada. Believe what you will. You know, it's hard to believe that you couldn't find sponsorship for a guy like Kyle Busch, who has done so well in the sport, has done so well for your team, has moved your team forward, has helped grow your team. But, yeah, I mean, look, they probably knew that this decision was eventually coming. They probably knew that eventually it was going to have to come down to, okay, you know, am I going to keep this guy and maybe my grandson gets elsewhere? But look, it's not like Ty Gibbs is a terrible driver and hasn't proven that he can win races. I mean, Ty Gibbs has won in every series that he's been in. He's learned through some injuries of other drivers and such to how to play the game, you know, how to race clean, how to get out there and gain that valuable experience. So, you know, it's not like they're ditching him for a grandson that really hasn't proven anything. I mean, this guy's won races. This guy's been able to prove that he can run up front in the Xfinity and the Cup Series, the Cup Series too, but certainly the Truck Series. So, you know, I don't think they've done him wrong necessarily. I think they gave him full bro, like, hey, look, here's the deal. This is a possibility, and we're going to give you every option and every chance to go out and find a different ride, and that's indeed what he did.
Tony Donahue with the Tony D Podcast. Tony, it's time for you to give us your $5 DraftKings pick of the week for tomorrow and today. So what are your picks for today, sir?
Today, give me Justin Allgaier. He's a guy that, you know, knows how to get it done on the short tracks. He's got plenty of experience. You've always got a chance, I think, when you put money on him. As far as tomorrow, and I've been thinking about this, right, because there's a pressure on me to continue my hot streak and give you
right.
Winners.
The pressure's on.
So I'm gonna bail myself out here a little bit. I'm gonna give you two picks. I'm gonna give you Denny Hamlin, or I'm gonna give you Chase Elliott. It's hard to pick for me, one of the two. So I'm gonna give you either Hamlin or Chase Elliott. I don't know where the odds are for either of those guys. I don't even know if they've qualified. And to be honest, the winners I've given you the last couple of weeks, I haven't even watched practice or qualifying. It's just been a hunch. It's just been, hey, I think this is what's going to happen. So,
well,
that's what we got for tomorrow, and hopefully we keep that streak going.
Yeah, the bets have been placed for Denny Hamlin and for Allgaier. I believe that's what you said. The bets have been placed. Believe it or not, ironically, this never happens. If they both win, they're $40 a piece, so that's $80. So if that happens, it's another dinner for you, I guess, sir.
well, don't forget to put a little bit on Denny Hamlin as well. Those are the two favorites tomorrow. I like Denny and Chase. Let's see if we can get it done again.
All right, Tony, what are you guys working on this week on both the website, burnoutsports.com, and your podcast, sir?
Yeah, the podcast, talking about the expectations for the Colts. The year award for IndyCar, and yeah, we had a most popular driver, but we also have, you know, what driver would you like to road trip with? Across country. So we've had some fun with that. And
nice.
Got to go on Thursday to see Marcus Ericsson, the Indy 500 winner. I had an interview with him as he unveiled his image on the BorgWarner Trophy. So be sure to check that interview out that I had with the reigning Indianapolis 500 champion, Marcus Ericsson.
Love it. All right, Tony, you have yourself a good weekend. And where can people find your working masterpieces, sir?
BurnoutSports.com. Tom, we'll talk tomorrow. Hopefully we're talking about another NASCAR winner.
You got it, sir. We'll talk with you soon.
Take care.
Tony Donahue of the Tony D Podcast playing the Swiss Army Knife for us today, talking a little Homer Colts, a little Homer Pacers, some NASCAR, some Xfinity, and some World Series. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Right around the corner on Boo Balance is Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, fresh off the bye week for the Philadelphia Eagles. He's going to be breaking down the Eagles, the NFL, and all that's in the NFL. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Morning face. You get it when you don't sleep well. This is what happened to Linda.
Morning, guys.
Good morning. Ah, what is that thing?
It's me, Linda.
Oh, my God, it talks. Run!
No, it's me, Linda, from HR.
It looks hungry. Save the children. Save them. Stay back. I've got mace.
Ow, they're hitting my eyes.
We're moving.
It's called beauty sleep for a reason. And there's never been a better time to get some.
Get 20% off IKEA Sultan mattresses. IKEA, love your home.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
I haven't seen on the board. Do you guys have Black Rifle Coffee here?
No, I'm sorry. We only carry good small batch coffee here.
Well, it is great small batch coffee.
Well, that really can't be unless it's fresh roasted, so,
Well, it is fresh roasted.
I don't think you know what that means. You know what this is? This is Masa Lekwa Pique, which, of course, in the Indonesian language... Oh, let me finish. In the Indonesian language, it's weasel coffee.
You just made that up.
No, it's been passed through their digestive tract.
That's disgusting.
And then it's nature's wet processing.
Yeah, but is it good?
I mean, it's all right. Are they investor philanthropists? Do they support good causes?
Yeah, tons of causes. Veterans causes and first responder causes, but it doesn't matter because they make good coffee. So that's what I'm wanting.
Do you have any?
You know what? Actually, I'm just going to order it. They make it fresh and roasted.
Okay.
Black Rifle Coffee.
It's good.
The balance, guys. We have finally made it back to 2 hours, and we've got 90 minutes in the books. Thank you, Adam Gibbett, and Super Browns fan, Super Cavs fan, Super Duper Cavs fan, that is. Also a fan of the Guardians and, well, anything Ohio. You know, the Buckeyes, the Browns, the Cavs. Cavs got to win as well. And also, check his spot out. He's got his own little corner of the world now. On our website, www.thebalancedsportscast.com, up and going. Guys, it is awesome. Let me tell you, it's getting better and better. And a lot of the kinks, behind-the-scenes kinks, and the stuffs that we were doing behind the scenes are done and completed. And I do thank Steve Wilson, editor-in-chief of SpeedwayDigest.com, our official NASCAR contributor. I mean, he knows how to monetize and how to make a website do something. So I said, hey, Steve, can I lean on you? And he has been more than glad to help. So I have to give all the credit to him. But I tell you what, it is up and running. BalancedSportscast.com. We love it. You'll love it. Go check it out. And it's Boo Balance this weekend. It's Halloween weekend. We got us up on the Twitter world. We got us a poll up. It's what is your favorite Halloween candy? Reese's Cups, Kit Kat, Snickers, or Mike and Ike's? Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles off of a bye week, ready to take on the Steelers. Ed, how are you doing on this Halloween weekend?
Hey, I'm couldn't be better. The Phillies won game one of the World Series, one of the best game ones in World Series history. I mean, what a game that was. Hard to sleep last night with the excitement of that.
What an exciting game it was. I wish I could say that I made it through the entire game, but I did catch up on the highlights today. Hey, out of those four candies, or it could be any candy, out of those four candies, though, what is your favorite Halloween candy?
All of the above would be my answer there. Is there a D, all of the above?
Couldn't agree.
No,
I should have put that option.
I love I like them all. My favorite probably be the Reese's Cups, but I love the Mike and Ike's. But I'll tell you, what's not on the list that I like is the peppermint patty. Very underrated candy.
Oh my goodness, you're right.
Peppermint patty.
You're right.
I do like that. Yeah.
Now I know your kids aren't trick or treating, but you have to admit, back in the day, you took your kids trick or treating just so you could make sure you took out all the good stuff, right?
Well, let me tell you this: we had a realtor knock on our door yesterday, you know, just to introduce herself, you know, if we were interested in selling our home, and she gave out a little care package, and inside it was two York peppermint patties, and I was like, I'm ready to put my home on the market now. That's
there
how
you
excited
go.
I was too.
That's all you got to do.
Get the peppermint patties.
You got to do to get Ed's house on the market. You know, is to give him some peppermint patties. I tell you what though, we brought out some. I got a bunch of candy in the hopes that we'll have trick or treaters. The last couple of years, we haven't had very many. I think a lot of it has to do with COVID. But I buy abundance of candy just in case have enough for the trick-or-treater. But to be honest, the real reason that I buy an abundance of candy is, well, let's be honest, so I have an abundance of candy. So,
yeah, it's not
going
to
go away.
It
really is that simple. Let's not overthink it. It really is that simple. We brought out some candy corns. Now, do you like candy corns?
Oh, yeah, sure do.
Yeah, see, I do too. But we have a really good mixture, and you probably may have had this before, but you mix in some peanuts and you mix in some candy corns, Mix them all together. They're good. Have you ever had a payday?
Never done that.
You ever had a payday candy bar?
Yes, I have. Very, very good. It's got the nuts in it, right? The nuts and the
caramel. The taste is very similar. The taste is very similar with the. I digress. Let's go with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
Eagles has got a lot going on. Certainly unbeaten. Do not want to jinx them. You got the Steelers at home. You like to think this could be a box you check off, but it's the Steelers, and it's that time of year where you're undefeated, and, you know, there's a reason there's only been one undefeated team in the history of the NFL, and we're still talking about that. But Fly Eagles Fly did another good acquisition in the trade market, not necessarily for their what – he'll do for you guys on the field, but certainly a very strong defensive pickup for the Eagles in the trade market. But most importantly is the Eagles are playing chess where everybody else is playing checkers. And you're doing such a great job of just manipulating, if I can use that word, of getting high-pick draft rounds, which is going to pay off when you're playing the long game, which is exactly what you guys are doing. Let's break down the Steelers and the Eagles, and let's talk about what's going on with them, with the new acquisitions that they've gotten here recently.
Yeah, they just acquired Robert Quinn, the pass rusher from the Chicago Bears. Now, you know, he's 32 years old. He's been in the league 12 years. You know, what does he have left? He had 18 and a half sacks last year for Chicago, set the team record. Only one this year. He's going to have a role on Sunday because he's really the definition of a rental player for the Eagles. I mean, they're only going to have him for the remaining 11 games and whatever playoff games await them at the end of the year, because the Eagles and Quinn decided to just forego his final 2 years of his contract, which was huge. I mean, he was signed for over $20 million for the next 2 years, but Quinn agreed to become a free agent. So really, I don't see him coming back. So the Eagles are going to get what they can out of him, and we'll see if he has anything left. You know, he just adds depth to that defensive line. So we'll see where that goes. You know, he's only had one winning season in the league, Quinn. So we'll see how he reacts in his pursuit for another ring here. The Steelers are going to be a good test. The Eagles are coming out of a bye. You know, we'll see how that impacted them. You know, they had the extra week of everybody telling them how great they were at 6-0, the only undefeated team in the league, this and that. So, you know, we'll see how they came back to work. And then, you know, after this game, 4 days later, they go down to Houston to play the Texans. So, you know, I don't think they'd be looking ahead to that, but it is something that you think about is, you know, you only have a couple days to recover, to play before you play again. So, these are two pretty big games in the scheme of things on paper. It looks like the Eagles, they are the better team in both these games, but the better team doesn't always win. Steelers might get TJ Watt back. We'll see. They haven't made a decision. They have to make a decision by 4 p.m. Saturday if they're going to add him to the 53-man roster. You know, he's been out since the opener when he tore his pec and then had knee surgery too. So that would certainly give them a boost. But when you look at their quarterback, Kenny Pickett, you know, he's thrown 7 interceptions. You know, this plays right into the Eagles' hands. The Eagles are leading the NFL in takeaways, and they're plus 12 in the giveaway takeaway. No team is even close to that. The next closest is plus 4, you know, and the Eagles are plus 12. They have 9 interceptions, 5 fumble recoveries. So, you know, that does not look like a good matchup for the Steelers, their rookie quarterback, who I think is going to be pretty good eventually against this Eagles defense that likes to take the ball away. But again, it is the Steelers. They do play with a prideful organization. They're sitting at 2-5, which is the same record, ironically, that the Eagles had last year at the same point in the season. The Eagles were 2-5, and they ended up 9-8 and made the playoffs. So, you know, if the Steelers want to turn it around and become, you know, this year's Eagles, if you will, then it has to start now in Philadelphia on Sunday.
You know, we're talking about how the Eagles are playing chess and everybody else is playing checkers. There's a new chess piece player being rumored with the Eagles, Alvin Kamara with the Saints. He says he's not interested. He's staying with the Saints. Of course, he's going to say that. But where there's smoke, there's fire. There may be just a little bit of smoke, and we know how well the Eagles have been doing in picking up some pretty good trades. This would be another good – although he's had his battle with injuries here recently, but Alvin Kamara traded to the Eagles, it's a rumor. But what is there any truth to that rumor?
No, I don't think so. I don't know where that began. I haven't been able to get anybody to say, yeah, that's true. I mean – Would you like to have him? Sure. You know, the Eagles are always plugged in with anybody that's on the, you know, perceived to be on the market or these great players, just because that's the way Howie Roseman does business. He calls and checks in on everybody. So all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, the Eagles are interested in him. But listen, this guy's getting a lot of money. He signed a big contract, and the Eagles just don't historically pay a running back that kind of money. And if you're looking to give up a first-round pick, I think the Saints want that first-round pick that they gave to the Eagles in that trade last year. They also gave them their second-round pick next year. I don't understand what Mickey Loomis was thinking, but be that as it may, the Eagles own two first-round picks again, and they're not giving the Saints their pick back. This pick might be a top-five pick. You know, the Saints are sitting there 2-5. I don't think they're going to win a whole lot of games here, and that could be a top five, top 10 pick for Philly. They're not giving that back for Alvin Kamara, especially with that contract. So I think the Eagles could make another deal. Trade deadline's Tuesday at 4:00. I don't see it being Kamara. It could be another quarter running back, but not Kamara. Kamara is just, his contract's too expensive, and the Saints want too much. And I just don't really see that happening, to be honest.
Well, you're the source in the nest, dear sir. So we certainly will lean on what you say.
Okay.
Like I said, it's just a rumor. I know everybody was talking about it.
I know. Oh, I know. I don't know how some of these, you know, like I said, I know how they get started. Howie calls on everybody and just says, hey, what do you think of this or that? But, you know, I just, it would take a lot to get him, and then you're going to have to pay him a lot of money. And the Eagles don't invest in their resources that way. They spend on the offensive and defensive lines, and they're going to have to give Jalen Hurts probably a big contract in March. You know, I just don't see him taking a running back that's going to give, you know, count $18 million against your salary cap next year.
Well, let's walk around the NFL. Obviously, you know where I'm going first, and it's right here in my backyard, the Indianapolis Colts. My Indianapolis Colts have finally made a good business decision when it comes to quarterback. But the unfortunate thing is, when are we going to learn to stop making the bad decisions and just start with the first decision? And I think they've made a really good decision on this. And it very well may have saved Frank Reich's job, to be honest with you. They move away from Matt Ryan. He's hurt, so he's QB3 right now on paper. I'm sure that Nick Foles will go back to QB3 at some point. But when they moved on to Sam Ellinger to the quarterback, they've had him for a while. We don't really know what he is, because we don't know what we don't know. We know that he played well in the preseason. We know that he's got some exciting things about him, but we don't know what we don't know. I know Jim Irsay's been really high on him and really liked him a lot, and Ballard and Reich have kind of been very reserved with him. And you know, again, going from a QB3 to a QB1 is almost unheard of. It has happened. But is he the savior, if you will, at the quarterback position with Colts? No, I don't think so. I don't know where that person is. Maybe we're still waiting for them to be born. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's that far out before we actually have a very good quarterback with this. But certainly, you know, the thing is, we've got some of the most talented players in the NFL on both the defensive side. You know, Shaq, Leonard, I'm still getting used to calling him that. But don't get me started on that, because, you know, ever since he changed his name, his health went down, the Colts thing went down. So I don't want to get started on that superstition. But the Colts go forward with Sam Ellinger. They put Matt Ryan on the bench. Matt Ryan's, you know, saying all the right things. He's a nice enough guy. He seems like a really good guy and you know, a good family guy and all that. But, you know, he's saying all the right things in the press conferences. You know, hey, I'm just here to support the team. I'm going to do whatever I can do to help Sam grow. But listening here on local radio and stuff, they were saying, we've seen this coming for a while, because he's been getting heavy playing time in practice. He's been getting, you know, side-by-side time with Matt Ryan. The writing was on the wall. So they've made the decision to move on to Sam Ellinger. And I think what that gave a signal to us and to Matt Ryan is, hey, here's your paycheck. Sit down and be quiet. Let the grown-ups play. What are your thoughts? I'll get off my soapbox now.
Yeah. Well, you know, Ellinger hasn't attempted a pass, I don't think, you know, since he was drafted. And what was he, a sixth-round pick? I mean, I don't know how much hope
he
has.
He had some playing time in the preseason, sure.
Yeah. But, you know, here we are, regular season, middle of the season, team counting on him to win games. A lot more pressure on Sam Ellinger now than there was in August.
Yeah.
But you had to do something. I mean, this offensive line has just been a disaster. They can't pass block. Matt Ryan has just been under heavy pressure. What's he been sacked 24 times? I mean, that's far and away probably more than any other quarterback in the league. So at least Ellinger gives you a little bit of mobility that maybe he can keep a play alive and, you know, get out on the edge and try to extend the play. And probably since he's a rookie sixth-round pick, he'll probably try to run more than he'll throw it once he gets outside. So, you know, I guess that gives you a little bit of hope. But I said this before, Tom, the Colts aren't going to be, you know, any kind of threat to win the conference, let alone the Super Bowl, until they figure out the quarterback spot. They've had, what, this is their sixth starting quarterback now in 5 years?
Yeah.
There's six different ones. You can't win like that on a consistent basis. And they better figure it out. You know, they got to go into the draft next year and find one if Ellinger isn't the answer. And I don't think he'll be the answer. He might give you, you know, a few wins here this year, but unless he surprises the heck out of me and everybody else. But, you know, you got to go find the guy, and you have to develop him. And that's where I think Frank Reich's job could be in trouble because, you know, if you bring in a quarterback, you probably want to bring in a head coach with that quarterback so they can kind of grow together. And that's what they have to do. And I can't believe that they haven't done that already. They keep these Band-Aids. You know, they trade for Carson Wentz. They trade for Matt Ryan. They bring in Phillip Rivers. I mean, it's just been one debacle after another, if you ask me. And that's a shame, you know, because the Colts fans, I think, deserve better. I mean, they need to be able to get a guy that you can go out and buy his jersey. You know, we know he's going to be there for a while.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it hasn't happened. And it's a shame because they have good pieces on that roster that can win for you. It's just a matter of finding the right quarterback. And this matchup against the Commanders, I mean, Carson Wentz, this was supposed to be Carson Wentz coming back to Indy. And, you know, he's hurt.
And he's
again.
Not playing.
So,
yeah.
And he's not playing. So you got, you know, this is not the quarterback matchup that we're going to see that we thought we'd see back in August with Matt Ryan against Carson Wentz. Now you got Taylor Heinicke and Sam Ellinger. And, you know, who's going to win that? I don't know. I mean, the Colts need to win it to keep pace in the division with the Titans. So we'll see if Ellinger can get it done.
Well, you know, I bleed blue, so I'm behind him 100%. But let's hope it's a good decision. All right, let's move on around the league here, and let's start with the Giants and the Seahawks. The spread is 3.5. The New York Giants are one of the most surprising teams thus far. I think, and we've talked about this here on the show, the Giants are the real deal. 6-1 surpassing their win total from 2021 and, you know, trying it from 2020. But still, they've just – and I think Brian DeBoer is the coach of the year already. Let's give him the award. Let's give him the trophy. I mean, this guy is the real deal, and he's turned this Giants organization around to a fun team to watch, to a team that people are buying tickets to, are buying jerseys. The Giants and the Seahawks the spread is 3.5 with the Seahawks, but I mean, again, that's 3.5. Like, let's give it to the Giants. Let's go. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's two teams in the entire football league that have 6 wins, and they're both in the NFC East, the Giants and the Eagles. Nobody would have expected that, but here we are. And now they go to Seattle. They're a little banged up, the Giants. They've won 4 in a row. They're very good at coming from behind in the fourth quarter to win ball games. They've really done a good job, and that definitely speaks to the coach, and Brian Daboll's doing a great job there, especially with Daniel Jones, who everybody thought was a turnover machine, but he's doing a pretty good job, and I think that's just the coaches who have really have done a good job playing to his strengths. So, yeah, I mean, it's a tough game for the Giants. They lost 2 offensive linemen, I think, last week. They're not real good at stopping the run, right up the middle. And, you know, I think Seattle's going to have to take advantage of the running game here if they want to try to get a win. But, you know, the Giants are for real. And you think about it, they have 6 wins. There's 10 games left for them. I mean, they only have to win like 4 more games to get to 10 wins. And that's probably enough to get in the playoffs in an NFC that is really topsy-turvy with the Bucs struggling and the Packers struggling and, you know, the Saints not being what everybody thought they might be. So you think about that. They only have to win 4 more games out of the next 10 to get to 10 wins and probably get in the playoffs. So, yeah, the Giants have done a great job this season, and they're certainly, you know, a team that nobody quite yet believes in, but I do. I think they're going to be okay and make the playoffs, but I think this game in Seattle is going to be a good test for them. We'll see if, you know, if they can, you know, rise up again and find a way to win it late against the Seahawks. I think it's going to be a close game.
Well, you know, Eli is sitting back on his couch with all of his millions of dollars, sitting back, well, why the hell couldn't you guys do this when I was there? What the heck?
Well, they, yeah, that's true. That's
well, they
true.
Didn't go up to Super Bowl, so I got all right. I, you know, they did do that. All right, let's talk about the Bears and the Cowboys. Bears have been relatively impressive over the last couple of weeks. The Cowboys also made a trade this week to help solidify their depth along the dominant defensive line that they have. They got that Jonathan Hackins was traded from Las Vegas to Dallas in a swap of late round picks. But with Dallas going a 2023 seventh in the deal, I can't speak today. That's okay. The Bears and the Cowboys. Cowboys have spread 9.5. What are your thoughts? The Cowboys are at home.
Yeah, this is, you know, the Bears did a nice job in that, was that Thursday night game or Monday night game? I can't remember when they played. I guess it
Thursday
was Monday.
Night. Was it Monday? It might have been Monday.
Yeah, they beat the Patriots. You know, put up 30 plus points for the first time in 2 years, and you know, it looked like they kind of figured out a little bit how to use Justin Fields, which is use him, you know, as a weapon in the run game. You know, they had more run plays called for Fields. You know, but the Cowboys' defense is pretty good. They got some pretty good athletes that can. You know, track down Fields and kind of shut him down a little bit. They didn't give up many yards to Jalen Hurts when the Eagles beat the Cowboys a couple weeks ago on Sunday night. So they can contain a quarterback pretty well. And I just don't think the Bears have enough weapons to, you know, keep up with the Cowboys here. I think this is the second game back now for Dak Prescott after he missed all those games with the thumb injury and didn't really, you know, show much in his first game back against the Lions. But this is the second game now. He probably should take another step. I just think, you know, whatever the line is, I think it's, 9 or 10 points. I think the Cowboys will probably cover
that.
Yeah, it's
9.5.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Bears are, you know, regardless of what they did against the Patriots, I don't think the Patriots are that good either, and the Bears blew them out. But I just don't think the Bears are as good as advertised. And the Cowboys, you know, 5 wins, again, the NFC East. You know, they're nipping at the heels of the Giants and Eagles. They're going to want to keep pace. So, yeah, I think the Cowboys will take care of business here, and especially at home, and they'll probably beat the Bears by 2 touchdowns.
All right. Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles and SI.com and our official NFL contributor. We're going to bounce around the league here on the hot seat here, try to get through as many as we can. We've only got just a few more minutes. We're going to go into a little bit of overtime and try to get through some of these games, but not very much. So let's go across the pond. The Broncos are at the Jaguars in London. Never make the sense on how they get to that, but I would expect a low-scoring game at Wembley Stadium tomorrow morning, if you will, here at 9:30 Eastern time is when they start. I look at the Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence has been really kind of a quarterback to watch. But because the Jaguars are in the AFC South, low-scoring game, let's give it to the Broncos. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I won't be setting my alarm to get up and make sure I see this one, although I will watch it at some point. But
you might be up late in the night.
Yeah, it's true. But, yeah, I mean, look, the Jags, I thought they were a good team when they came to Philly in week 4. They're sitting at 2-1 and atop the division, and, you know, they haven't won since. I don't know. I mean, the Broncos, they look like they might be headed for a fire sale. If they lose this game, my goodness, they'll be 2-6. And, you know, you might be able to think about it, you know, Jerry Jeudy and Bradley Chubb and, you know, some of those other guys that have been mentioned in trade talks, because the Broncos are just, you know, they're not what everybody thought they would be. And, you know, I guess it's the home away from home for the Jags, right? They play in London every year, it seems. So, and they're pretty good there, you know. So it is kind of like a good home field for them. So I think the Jags might find a way to win and continue the misery of the Broncos and their new head coach, who probably won't let, you know, I don't know if he'll be back unless he turns this thing around.
Well, you know, they're talking about expanding the NFL to the UK. Let's start with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Come on over there.
You'd be happy with that, right? They seem to have the Colts number whenever Indy goes down to Jacksonville. So I guess
it used to
be
that way. Cardinals 3-4. Man, what has happened to the Arizona Cardinals? They must have got stung by a scorpion or something. But the Vikings 5-1. The spread's 3.5 for Minnesota. You're looking for the Cardinals to have their first game win in Minnesota since 1977. They've not won in Minnesota. We'll see what happens. The 2022 debate debut of DeAndre Hopkins, is it going to slow down his second game and Robbie Anderson and so forth to that game. I don't know a lot about this game as far as stats goes because I didn't do a lot on this, but I do know that Hopkins is coming back from suspension, and I do know that that's good for fantasy football players. So what do you say about the Cardinals and the Vikings?
Well, you hope it's good for Kyler Murray, too. I mean, he's kind of been hasn't really found too much of a reliable target there, and he'll make all the other guys around in that receiving core better. I really like Rondale Moore, but I think Hopkins will help. But, yeah, I think Cliff Kingsbury is another coach on the hot seat like the Broncos' Nathaniel Hackett. Much more was expected of the Cardinals, and they haven't delivered. And meanwhile, the Vikings are rolling along at 5-1. The only loss is to the Eagles on a Monday night football game here in Philadelphia. Are they a legitimate 5-1? I mean, listen, you are what your record is, what your record says you are. So, yeah, they're pretty good. And it's a home game. And remember last week I was picking all the road, or maybe 2 weeks ago, I was picking a lot of road teams. But, I think the Vikings will hold serve even with D-Hop coming back at the receiver spot for the Cardinals. I think Vikings find a way to win this game and get to 6-1 and, keep the pressure on for the home field advantage in the NFC playoffs with the Giants, Cowboys, and Eagles.
Guys, we're in overtime. We won't spend a lot of time here in overtime, but we are rolling into overtime. So if you're listening to us on the podcast, pretty freaking awesome. And, here's another thing to point out. Not only can you find us on the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, TuneIn, Stitcher, all these different podcast platforms, we're there. But the really cool place we're at now is on our brand new website, balancedsportscast.com. Go to it. It's just on the right. Hit play. And any show that you want to listen to, all of them are archived on there. All of our shows over the last 10 or 11 years, if you want to go back that deep. I advise you not to. When we started out, we weren't quite as awesome as we are now. I'll tell you, they're there. I went a few weeks ago when we were putting all this together. I was like, man, have we come a long way over the last 10-plus years. But anyway, go there. All right, Ed, do you remember a couple, three weeks ago, the Lions were on a streak. The Lions were – everybody was talking about the Lions in the preseason. And Rick and all of us were like, oh, it's the Lions' year. And you made the comment. You said, they don't know that they're supposed to be this bad. Well, apparently somebody told them because they have the worst defense in the entire NFL. And now they've got the clue. They're 1-5. They are tanking for the first-round draft pick, in theory. I would say probably no team actually does that. That's just something that we like to talk about. Dolphins are playing hot, 4-3. This is a good box for them to check off on the road. I mean, I don't know that there is a bold prediction here at all. I mean, it'd be crazy if Miami goes to Detroit and gets a win. And you were there a few weeks ago. You know that it's a mammoth home field advantage. I wonder if that's changed now. I'm curious if it has or not. Dolphins at the Lions, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know. I just know that environment week one with all the expectations and coming off Hard Knocks and all that stuff was just an unbelievable environment to be in. And I don't know if it's changed. I suspect it probably has. They're 1-5. Haven't looked good. They do have trouble on defense. But, I think a lot of their problem is Jared Goff, too. I think the Lions are another organization that needs to go out and find stability at that quarterback spot. They had Matthew Stafford and they couldn't do anything with him. He goes to the Rams and he wins a Super Bowl. So, that speaks to coaching as well. Now, I know Dan Campbell really wasn't a part of that, but Dan Campbell's a guy that, you know, he talks a good game and he's fiery and feisty. Really put these guys through a really, really hard training camp, you know, all the hitting and, you know, everybody's like, boy, that's great, that's great. Look, they're going to be ready, and here they are 1-5. Meanwhile, I contrast it to the Eagles, who ran kind of a country club training camp, and everybody's like, oh, this, they're going to get hammered. They're, you know, they're not going to be ready. They haven't hit anybody. They haven't tackled. And, you know, here the Eagles are 6-0. So, you know, which approach is the right approach? If you go on that, it's, you know, hey, we got to take care of our players. We can't push them so hard in August and expect them to, you know, get out of the gate quick and be successful. And, you know, the Lions are not. And I know a lot of that's personnel related, and they need to get better, and they need to find a quarterback. I mean, I like Hutchinson. I think he'll develop that. You know, they're getting something out of Okuda at cornerback. He's playing a little better, another former first-round pick. So, you know, but listen, the quarterback makes the world go round in the NFL, and they need to find one. Jared Goff's not the answer. Just like, you know, the Colts are having trouble with the quarterback spot and so many other teams in the league. But that's where they need to start in the draft. And it looks like they're going to draft high once again with the Jaguars again. It always seems to happen this way. So, yeah, the Lions, I don't know. The Dolphins will probably beat them. I mean, I know it's in Ford Field, and I don't know what that atmosphere will be like. But, you know, the Dolphins have a very good defense that can give Goff headaches.
Well, another really fun, exciting nail biter will be the Raiders at the Saints. Raiders are 2-4, and the Saints are 2-5. You know, something's got to give here. The Saints are sticking with quarterback Andy Dalton as their permanent starter, even though Dennis Allen says that Jameis Winston is healthy enough to play, but it's Dalton's job now. And can he get it done? I don't know. He did all right when he was with the Bengals. He still hasn't proved anything to me as a Saint. And I think this will be a good game, you know, fantasy football-wise for Josh Jacobs. And Jacobs, I'm sorry, he'll become the fifth player in NFL history with at least 150 scrimmage yards and rushing touchdowns in four straight games, joining LaDainian Thomas, Larry Johnson, and Priest Holmes and Terrell Davis. So there's that for the Raiders. But that's probably the most exciting thing going to be happening tomorrow between the Raiders and the Saints. What are your thoughts?
Well, did I mention how important quarterbacks are in the NFL? Did I mention that? I think I have.
That seems to be our theme today,
And the Saints don't have one. I mean, you know, Dalton, you know, he's older than he was with the Bengals, obviously. It's been a few years since he was there. Jameis Winston, you know, I was never a believer in Jameis Winston after the 30-touchdown, 30-interception year he had. So they don't have a quarterback. And you know what else they don't have is a first-round pick to try to find one, because the Eagles have that. So they're in trouble. The Saints are in a world of hurt here, you know, and the Raiders, they're a disappointment. They were expected to, you know, that AFC West was supposed to be, you know, like the best division in the history of the NFL, and it hasn't proven to be the case. And the Raiders are a part of that reason. They're limping along at 2-4, haven't looked good many times this season. So, you know, it's a big game for whoever. I mean, I guess both these teams are dying for a win, but I think the Raiders will find a way, even though it's in New Orleans. You know, I'm not a believer in the Saints. I just don't think they have a quarterback that can, you know, get the job done on a consistent basis. They might win this game, but, you know, I think there's not much hope in New Orleans until they can find a quarterback, and good luck finding one without a first-round pick. You're going to have to maybe go the veteran route in the offseason. Hasn't worked out well. Dennis Allen's their new head coach. He's still kind of finding his way a little bit. But Josh McDaniels in Las Vegas, another first-year guy who already failed in Denver. I don't know. Take your pick in this one. I don't think in the scheme of things it matters a whole lot which team wins.
Final game, Ed. Let's talk about the Patriots. 3-4. That's exciting to watch. I mean, too bad it didn't happen back when, you know, we had Manning and we had Brady, but nonetheless, always good to see the Patriots on the lower end of the scheme. The Jets come in at 5-2, though. I don't think really anybody expected the Jets to do this. They are going to want to end a 12-game losing streak against the Patriots. I mean, honestly, there's not going to be a lot to talk about this game. I think it'll come down to kickers. Nick Folk, by the way, since we're talking fantasy football, is on my fantasy football, one of my fantasy football leagues. So if it comes down to kickers, hey, throw a few points for me. You can never win your fantasy game on the kickers, no. Just saying. I wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I would advise that. But you know, certainly he's a clutch, and he could kick from a distance. And they're at MetLife Stadium. It's hard to kick anyway. And so, you know, this is a good time for a bad team to get a good win at home. Does that make any sense? The Patriots and the Jets.
You think the Jets are a bad team? Is that what you think? They're the Patriots. I guess the Patriots.
They're the most non-exciting 5-2 team in the NFL. Or do you disagree with that?
Well, maybe. I mean, I haven't really seen them play. I don't do the red zone because, I'm usually working on Sundays and I don't get a whole lot of chance to watch other teams. I'll, see highlights and stuff during the week. But, Robert Saleh, I guess he can coach, right? 5-2. And, here's the Jets. They're trying to do it the right way. They drafted Zach Wilson high last year, and that's what, you need to do. There's going to be struggles with a rookie, and you hope in year two he starts to click a little bit. And I know his season was delayed a bit with the knee injury he had, but, this is how you do it. You find a quarterback you believe in, you build your scheme around him, and then you hope you can develop him and get some wins while you're doing that, maybe with your defense. And the Jets have a good defense. They do have a really good defense. And they've won 4 in a row, I think. I mean, they've been one of the bigger surprises. I think both those New York teams, the Giants and the Jets, have been really big surprises in the league this year. And the Patriots, boy, they looked horrible against the Bears. That whole quarterback thing, Mac Jones plays and gets yanked, and Bailey Zappe comes in. I guess Mac Jones is going to start against the Jets, and the Patriots usually play the Jets well. But, I don't know. This Jets team, has something. They have a good defense. Zach Wilson is developing as the quarterback. And I like the Jets in this game to beat the Patriots and keep their misery going.
Right. We'll see how it rolls. Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles and SI.com, our official NASCAR contributor. We always love having you on, and I hope you guys get a treat at home this weekend and nothing scary. I have to tie in the Halloween theme. I mean, we named the show Boo Balance, for God's sake. But
I love the Halloween theme song you were playing when I first called in, that the Halloween music from the movie Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just one of the creepiest, scary music that I can think of. That and the Jaws, that suspenseful Jaws when the shark's in the water. But that Michael Myers Halloween theme song is really, really good.
I don't know if you've followed the Michael Myers movies over the years. I've watched them, but this year is supposed to be the last one. The last Halloween, I think, is what it's actually called, the last Halloween, I think. And I think Michael Myers, we finally find out who he is, and he's going to die. That's what I understand.
Wow.
And they're gonna kill the series. This is it. We'll see.
Wow.
We'll see if it actually happens. Well, the Eagles usually treat you guys pretty good in the press box, so maybe they'll load you up with a lot of good Halloween candy for you this weekend. Why you watch the Eagles beat the Steelers. Man, I if I were you guys, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I know I said we're done, but are you just a little nervous for as a fan? Are you just a little nervous? Okay, because if it does happen, I don't want to jinx, I don't want to say anything, but if it does happen, wouldn't you want it to be against a very, very good team? And not a mediocre team like the Steelers. I mean, are you guys a little nervous about that if you're an Eagles fan?
Well, I don't know.
Well, if you can't talk about it because you're
nervous,
like a no-hitter, we don't do that.
Well, listen, the 1972 Dolphins had a call leading up to last Sunday's game when they hosted the Steelers because they were being honored at halftime. The 50th year anniversary of the undefeated team. So I was on a call with 4 of the 7 remaining Hall of Famers, surviving, I should say, 3 have passed.
Cool.
But 4 of them were on there. Paul Little, I think that was his name, Larry Little, Paul Warfield, Bob Greasy, Brian's his son, and Larry Zonka.
Fun fact of Bob Greasy. A lot of people don't know this. But do you know where he's from?
Bob Greasy? Where he grew up?
No, yeah.
Indianapolis?
No, Evansville, Indiana, my hometown, where
Evansville,
I grew up. It's 3 hours
okay.
south of Indianapolis, yeah. That's my greasy fun fact. His son was very greasy. I mean, he couldn't stand up half the time. That's because he was drinking all the time. I'm glad that he's got his life together. Don't get me wrong. There was that time where his son was certainly not living up to the legacy of his dad. But, yeah, Bob Greasy grew up in Evansville, Indiana, my hometown. Went to Boston High School. True story.
Pretty cool. And where did he go? Did he go to Michigan? Or where did he go to school? No, his son went to Michigan. I always confuse Brian and Bob.
Why do I think he went to UCLA? I don't know. I could be wrong. I have to check that. I'll check that and I'll give it out.
I don't know. But anyway, my point was,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, Larry Zonka said, you know, to answer your question about nervousness about the Eagles losing to a mediocre team, Larry Zonka said that's exactly what's going to happen. Not against the Steelers, but he said he was asked, which team do you think can beat the Eagles that's left on the schedule? And he said it's going to be a team nobody expects because that's just parity in the NFL. He goes, it's going to be a team where you don't think can beat them, and they do. And then it's going to be up to the Eagles to see how they respond. And maybe it's the Steelers. I mean, you know, big interstate battle here, Pittsburgh, PA, Philly, PA, and, you know, 300 miles in between the two cities. But, you know, it could be that team. It could be them. It could be the Texans. I mean, who knows? I mean, it could be a team nobody expects. And maybe it's the Steelers just because it is the Steelers and they have a lot of pride in that organization.
And then there's the other part of it, Ed. Let's just get it over with. And so we can stop talking about it. If it's going to happen, let's just get it over with. Because the more that it doesn't, you kind of, there's one part you're like, let's just get it over with. Because the more it goes on, the more it's like, oh, can we stop talking about it? And now you're like, okay.
That's exactly right.
Let's just get it over with.
That's a great point.
So, all right, Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles and SI.com. Where can people find your work and masterpieces, sir?
Follow me on Twitter at Kratzy, KRACZE, or SI.com/NFL/Eagles. Brings you right to the site and a boatload of stories and videos there.
I appreciate it, sir. And we'll make sure that whenever we get your stuff, we're going to get it posted as quick as we possibly can, sir.
I appreciate that, Tom. Thank you.
Thank you. Don't eat too much candy.
See ya. No,
all right,
I will.
We'll see you. All right, buddy. We'll see you. Bye-bye. Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles and SI.com. And certainly, we're on a roll with these Phillies. I mean, I'm going to roll with them. I'm going to roll with them. I know that a lot of people like the Astros, and I swear to God, if they win, we're going to go back to this conversation about the trash cans. I know. It's in the past. I get it. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. It has been a fantastic Boo Balance. Happy Halloween weekend to all of you guys. And watch out for all the little goblins and ghosts and stuff walking around your neighborhood. And seriously, guys, don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. Go check us out. Go check out our new website, www.balancesportscast.com. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks, Adam Jividan. Thanks, and check his Jebby's Den out. I'll get that right. Tony Donahue with the Tony D Podcast and BurnoutSports.com. Ed Kratz, Philadelphia Eagles and SI.com. And we're the Balance. Thanks, guys. Happy Halloween. I'm out of here. Deuces.